problem is I got a 50-year-old lust and a 3-year-old dinky.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I'm Jamie Johnston, and I'm with...
Mike the Birdman Dodd!
And anyway, if you can hear a little bit of a noise in the background, that's because we have a fan turned on because, well, we're hot and...
It feels delicious.
It feels delicious, as Dodd is saying.
That's right.
Yeah. So, today's episode, which...
Very much just open discussion.
We're going to do a bit of an open discussion. As you guys know from the last episode, I'm going to be moving the 1st of next month, which is September. Going to be moving to Barrie. If you don't know where that is because you're not in the area, well, I can't
it's
really
It's north of Toronto.
It's bigger than Shelburne. A lot bigger. Yeah, north of Toronto. Moving there in with my girlfriend. And... I've decided that I'd like to take my artistic talents in a new direction. I'm still going to be doing artwork and everything like that, but I kind of want to actually play through that entire collection of mine, since I have over 1,000 games, and I've probably played maybe 5% of them. Most of them I played as a kid, and nowadays I haven't got to play through all of them, so... What I want to do is I actually want to start a YouTube channel, so I'm here with Birdman today to kind of talk about how to actually become an internet presence, like such as names and names of channels, what to do, etc. If you guys haven't noticed throughout a lot of the episodes, we had kind of Jamie Cool Johnston, but you know what, I found that kind of arrogant, so I stopped doing it, but I still like doing the thing, you know, at the end of the show. It's kind of a staple of... whatever, something ridiculous, and I'm cool, because it's funny. We came up with that one night, and we were drunk or something, I don't remember. Yeah, that's why I haven't really been saying, you know, Jamie anything Johnston, but we've still been doing Mike the Birdman Dogs. It's an amazing nickname. So, definitely throughout this whole show, everything we're talking about, we want to hear your opinion, because, hey, that it's all about pleasing, you know, being entertaining, and... finding you guys' opinion on this kind of thing once I start a YouTube channel. So, what should the first question be, Dodd?
Don't suck!
Don't suck. Well, yeah, I guess that would be a good start.
Don't steal people's shit!
Yeah, I was actually... well, we had Pro Jared and the Game Chasers here a little while back for Con Bravo, and I was talking with them, and a lot of the things that they seemed to say was, you know, be original... and do something cool and think more about, you know, building a community and having fun with it, because that's what it's more about. You know, the community will be drawn to you if, you know, you don't suck, in two words. I want to just have fun with this mostly, but I obviously want to entertain people. I don't want to be doing it for no reason. So we've been throwing a lot of names back and forth for both the channel, since basically the channel, what I'm going to be doing is playing my collection in various different ways. So I guess similar to a Let's Play channel, but I want to be unique about it, because it's like, why the fuck should we watch you? There's so many Let's Plays out there. What's unique about you? Which, still don't really have something. I have a couple things that are unique, but nothing huge that's like, he rides donkeys.
See, I'm one of those people, I'll be quite frank, I hate Let's Plays. I really do. Because I feel like there's no effort in them. Now that being said, there
we
are
just
some tremendously...
Sonic, which is a Let's Play. We were drunk, though.
Yeah.
So I guess that's one staple.
But you see, there are some really talented Let's Players out there. Like, for example, she used to work with that guy with the glasses. Now she's with Retroware, pushing up roses. Sarah. Her Let's Plays are really good. There are some that I enjoy, but as a whole, a lot of people, it just seems lazy. Some of them.
See, the funny thing is when you actually talk to a lot of these guys that do this, they will straight up tell you the reason that we do Let's Plays, and you can shovel out, you know, a Let's Play a day, because it's a very little editing needing to be done, because this kind of like how we're doing the prototype. We just shoot the shit. We say what we want. It's not scripted. You don't have to plan it out. And it's funny because we're just us. And a lot of people apparently like that. I'm assuming everybody that's listening like it because that's why you're listening to us. But yeah, it is obviously a lot less effort. It doesn't take, you know, a full week to get preparation, research, all that to do, say, something like Vsauce. They, you know, they have to gather all that information, all the different websites, all the different cool stuff that they're finding to make and script, you know, a show. Whereas a Let's Play is just, let's fucking play the game. So,
but at the same time, you have to be entertaining. And one of the great things, great and terrible things, is YouTube has given rise to anybody who has equipment can do stuff.
Pretty much.
Which means that's a terrible thing. Anybody with equipment can do stuff.
Yeah, so you have to stand out or you're going to suck.
And that's why, like I said, I'm not a big fan of Let's Plays because there's no production value involved. Now, that being said, like I said, there are some people that do some really good things with them. Some people edit it to get some of the really stupid crap out of it. Like, I, for example, thought for a long time about doing a Let's Play myself with Mass Effect, doing each mission as a separate thing.
Yeah.
And kind of giving information about the world, etc., so that while I'm playing through it. But I realized I can't be that entertaining for that long. I, for example, think a lot of my humor comes off the cuff. It just happens. I'm not scripted.
That's also why these Let's Plays work, is when you are that kind of humor, right? But yes, it is kind of one of those, if you're playing a really long RPG, which probably half of my collection is RPGs, you need to either fast forward or cut through the crap where you're
grinding.
When you're grinding, you're not going to be funny through the whole thing, because that's like an hour to 2 hours of just sitting there like killing shit.
And that's another thing too. Do you have to be funny? That's another thing too. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of them, and no one's going to convince me otherwise, because there's just, I don't know. I think,
but see, everyone's different too. Like, everyone has a different audience. And one of the things I wanted to do with my channel is not just be Let's Plays. I wanted to have some of the ones that were actually scripted, or, you know, they were more an entertainment thing that's not just a Let's Play. So that would be catered more to people like you that are looking for something that's entertainment.
See, I want something that's infotainment.
Yeah.
I want to learn while I'm being entertained. And I don't know, there are some people who do reviews online that I'm not a huge fan of. Several websites I'm not a big fan of, which I'm not going to name here because that'll cause more unnecessary drama than I want to deal with.
I honestly am not a huge fan of reviews because it's like,
I've said this at several panels at things like MAGFest, PAX East, etc. The era of the internet reviewer is quickly coming to an end.
Yeah.
Like, for example, on Blip, you have to be if you don't have a business plan, they won't let you join. Yeah. Now, only reason I'm there is because I was grandfathered in. So, and YouTube, like, I've said this before, and it terrifies me. I've been to several conventions this past year. I want to be a star on YouTube. No, stop. Bad idea.
This is where I'm obviously different than those idiots that are just like, hey, you can do it. I want to try to do it. Me, it's, I want to play my collection. You know what? I may as well share it with other people.
Yeah, well, you want to do it as a hobby. This is not a business for you. This is not a career path.
Hey, if I end up being really funny and it takes off, cool, but I'm not trying to.
Yeah,
it's just, I want to be entertaining people. That's why I do Prototype too. It's like, we get to shoot the shit and we're entertaining people, and we get to talk games.
Yeah.
This thing is, I've noticed, I've been collecting and running Noobs video games, which has been bolstering my collection, and I have not played anything in a long fucking time. So it's like, you know what? That needs to stop. I need to play them. And it's like, you know what? In this day and age, people like watching and experiencing things with you. So it's like, I may as well do it.
Because it's not content created by somebody in a boardroom. It's created by the average person, the average gamer.
Yeah. Not to mention, it might help me keep my sanity whenever I'm not doing anything and playing these RPGs for a long, long fucking time.
No. Hi, cat. Stop it. Stop it.
Wiley, get off the board.
Stop trying to turn off the fucking mixer. Hold on. I gotta... Wiley, cat.
I'm really surprised he hasn't actually messed with our levels. Like, ever.
I'm more happy he's never stepped on the one button. You never touch this button. I'm pointing at my mixer.
The one that he had his paw on, basically.
Yeah, I'm like, stop it.
Quit it. No. Oh, God. Wiley!
But yeah, it's stuff like, YouTube right now, can people make a career out of it? Absolutely.
You can.
But it's like going to Hollywood. Some people make it, a lot don't. I mean, for example, I find myself to be good. I'm a podcaster, first and foremost.
Yeah.
I'm only now branching into video with vlogs and random stuff because, you know what, why not? I'm a dinosaur. I have to evolve with the times. But my first love will always be audio. Why? It's less work. Two, I'm more passionate about it. Video.
And three, you don't have to sit there wondering what you're looking like.
Yeah, like for example, if you want to see a really good example of this, watch some of my vlogs. Watch how often I'm actually looking at the camera. I have trouble doing it. I really do. Because it feels so unnatural to me. Like, when I was in school, for example, they used to tell me, Mike, please look at the camera. Like, I'm trying. Like, you're looking at the person off camera. Like, I know. And I had people in my program call me shifty-eyed. Which is true.
Sometimes you actually don't want to look at the camera. You want to look, like, past the camera kind of thing.
What I was told in school is you want to look one...
Oh, I know
one...
what for you.
What?
Since you like Saints Row, we'll just put a big fucking floppy dildo behind the camera and you can stare at that.
Yeah, but then my eyes will be going back and forth as it flops.
As it's bobbing.
But yeah, they always tell you to look 1 foot behind the lens. Because when you look at the camera, you connect with your viewer.
Yeah.
And you can just... You can kind of tell watching people on YouTube who's kind of got the knack for it and who doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily... Fuck off these emails. And it's not necessarily a bad thing that some of these people get it and some people don't. Some of them are very successful. Like, some people that I've noticed that are remarkably comfortable in front of the camera. Pro Jared, for example. Like, I found out he has this huge improv background. You can tell.
Oh, yeah.
He's so comfortable. There are some other people in front of the camera from some other big websites, and they're just not comfortable doing their stuff. And there's some people which are wonderful at voicing stuff, and they should be sticking off camera. Or there's some people that are only on camera for just a minute.
Let's just face it. When you're ugly, you shouldn't be on camera.
Well, it comes down to...
Unless it's funny ugly.
There is a counter argument for that.
There
really is. Sometimes they say you have a face for radio. It's like a lot of it is it's how you connect with your eyes.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, for example, I'm not the prettiest man around, but...
Oh, Dodd, you're a perfect little flower.
I know. I'm a beautiful, unique snowflake. but you look in my... But you can tell I've got a very honest face about things.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps relax the viewer and help them get more comfortable.
You don't seem like a dick until you get to know
you. Yeah, exactly. I'm lovable until you realize, man, I will fuck you over if you cross me. But it's things like that. I mean, being on YouTube, it's about being comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
And that's first and foremost. I mean, if you're going to do it, yeah, it's great to have a love of the content. But you have to find where your niche is. Be it doing voiceover over material, sitting in front of the camera, doing your own shtick, or whether you're using animation or machinima or whatever to produce
your content. I would love to do animation within the videos and all that, but... People don't realize this. That shit is extremely time-consuming. Like, I would rather do, like, 20 friggin' drawings before animating a little guy just a walk. Like, a walk cycle. Pain in the ass. But it's one of those things of... Like, I want to kind of combine a lot of different things. Maybe have one type of episode that is a Let's Play where it's, you know, voiced over. Another one where maybe... Say, like, horror games or something. People love the reactions that you get out of the people. Like, their actual face.
Or, like, Slenderman type shit.
Yeah, shit like that. Well, I can easily reference one of the biggest hit sensations on YouTube right now, PewDiePie. His stick is that he is doing stuff with the camera. He full on, like, you can see his reactions, and he's hilarious in that sense. But, at the same time, the one thing is that I really don't want to end up getting into, I don't want to be seen as copying anyone. I want to take the good things that I've seen people do, and I want to make it my own in my own way.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you could say if I got, like, an animal with me, well, then I'm JonTron. If I put my face on the thing, well, then I'm PewDiePie. If I play the game and I'm only doing voiceover and I have a friend with me, well, I'm Game Grumps. Like, it's really hard to make your own thing nowadays, just because so many people are into it and they're successful. So you will always be compared to someone, so you want to... I want to try to be away from that, but it's hard.
That's the thing, too. Like, to be original in this day and age is fucking hard.
See, there's another thing that I had somebody else tell me don't worry about what other people are doing. Just do what makes you have fun.
Yeah.
That's another way to do it. It's just you always know that, like, someone somewhere is going to be like, you copied this person, and it's like, well, I didn't even know this person existed.
Yeah, but at the same time, you don't want to pull the same bullshit that the irate gamer did with the angry video game nerd.
What's that?
Oh, right, people hate burping. I'm sorry. Actually, no, I'm not. One person, or, well, this was drawn a comparison. If you watch his early stuff and James's, it's so similar. It's so similar.
Oh, so it's one of those, you can easily see that he copied the idea.
Yeah.
Okay, see, yeah, see, that's why it's one of those things of, I almost don't want to look at what other people are doing, because I don't want to end up doing stuff like them.
You don't want to be tainted before.
Well, I've noticed some, like, with a lot of people on YouTube, since, like, say, Game Grumps is so big, some of the noises and weird things that they would say started getting into all these other YouTube, like, it started becoming viral in other YouTube videos, and it's like,
because it starts to become part of success.
Well, no, it's actually funny, because a lot of them, they're accidentally doing it just because they've watched their show so much. So it's like, hopefully people don't see that as, oh, they're copying them, unless they straight up are, like, say, you know, there's a lot of people that apparently try to copy, you know, the angry video game nerd just by being ragey, and it's like, you know what, there's only two people on the internet that have done that right, and it's their thing. Scripted would be the angry video game nerd. Non-scripted, Rage Quit. That guy's hilarious, because he legit, I think, has anger issues.
I think when angry I think whenever Angry Joe gets mad, it's very sincere.
I don't think I've seen Angry Joe stuff.
Get the fuck out of my house.
Wait, no. Yeah, I think I have seen stuff.
Yeah, see, I'm willing... See, I like Joe's anger because it comes from a very sincere place. Like, I really... See, one of the greatest things that I love about Joe, for example, is I believe what he says. I believe he's that passionate gamer. I would almost dare I call him Gamer Batman.
Gamer Batman.
He's not the gamer... How does that Batman phrase, he's not the gamer we need, it's the one we deserve, or whatever? Yeah, that's how I feel about Joe, because if something breaks his heart, like Aliens Colonial Marines, for example, or if a movie pisses him off, he's very sincere about it.
Yeah.
I disagree with him about Superman, or Man of Steel, but I digress.
Well, see, it's actually funny, because I have a feeling I'm going to have a bit of anger in my episodes, and it's not going to be a scripted anger, because, you know what, I play all of my games on the hardest fucking difficulty. So there is many times where I will die over and over and over, and I'll just get more and more pissed off until randomly I'll win. But that's not one of those things that's scripted. That's just straight up, I'm going to be like, fuck, you fucking fuck.
Well, that's like, another thing, too.
Mega Man 1, remember that? I was swearing Christ. A lot. In the background last year.
Well, that's another thing, too, you need to consider. I mean, coming out as a beginning YouTube personality, you're going to experiment a lot. And you may find out scripted works for you. You may also find out scripted doesn't work for you. I mean, for example, scripted can be very good because you know exactly what you're going to say. You know exactly when things are going to hit. Unscripted, it gives you a lot of flexibility. But if you fuck up...
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy to end up having a silence when you're not scripted because you can't think of anything on the spot, which is also a reason why, like, a lot of these non-scripted guys, say Game Grumps as an example, they have somebody to bounce stuff off of. Even that's how we do it with Prototype. We bounce stuff off of each other. If it was just me sitting here trying to talk to myself, well, I'd probably sound a little bit crazy. Oh, wait, we already do.
See, and we can even kind of fire that back because you've heard me do rads, and I can talk to myself for, like, 30 minutes.
You're like, a little bit crazy. Yeah. Well, then again, I might get into that because I've never really tried it yet, which I assume on some of my RPGs I will be doing that alone.
Well,
I'm going to pull in guests for, you know, games that are versus, like, fighter games, co-op games and all that, but...
Well, even back in the day, I mean, when I was in school, for example, for radio, they told us to write out all of our bits. And a bit is, when you're listening to the radio, you'll hear the DJ talk about, say, the weather, sports. Or maybe that's like, hey guys, so this past weekend I went down to Joe's fish shop, and I did this, and I got this, and oh, I got a bowl of fish heads. And, you know, it's supposed to be a cute little story, keep you entertained for 1 to 2 minutes while the next song queues up or traffic and weather, whatever. Some people don't know how to do that. In fact, listen to the radio. You can tell who's really good at improv-ing, keeping shit fresh and keeping shit moving. You'll hear this specifically in the morning drive time shows, typically between 5 and 9 a.m. is when you get some of your best
Dean
radio.
Dean Blundell show.
Yeah, people like Dean Blundell or Iron Mike Benson from 97.7 Hits FM in St. Catharines. Or you'll hear some of the best between 3 and 7 p.m. because that's the drive home. You can hear people, they just react very, 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 very quickly to things like that. And improv's a wonderful skill to have, or at least be able to think fast on your feet to keep things interesting and entertaining. When I was in school, some people would write out their bits word for word, read them. It would almost sound natural if it wasn't for the exact cadence in their voice, the rhythm of it.
Well, see, that's one thing that I always hated when doing presentations and stuff, having things written out. When it's written out, I'll read it, but I you know that I'm reading it. Even some of the episodes where we've had info on the side, and I'll actually pull up my sheet and I'll read it. You can tell I'm reading it. I'm not just talking, because it's just the way my brain works. I'm not good with reading scripts. It does not sound fluid and sound like I'm actually just talking with you. So that's why I actually prefer improv and just kind of freestyle. Although, you know, we're going to have a lot of times where you have small pauses, stuff like that. We have them a lot in this show.
Yeah, because usually I'm glancing off screen or I'm multitasking. Like, for example, I'm checking out what's for sale in this one group right now and checking emails at the same time while still being able to hold a conversation with you. And that's another thing, too. When you want to do the whole YouTube personality thing, finding your level of comfort. And that's why sometimes you may shoot something. You may shoot it 3 or 4 times. Till you get it right, or till you feel it's comfortable. That's almost a disadvantage, too. You want it to feel very natural.
Well, see, the thing is, I don't want to force anything. I don't want to be like, okay, I'm going to be, you know, the next angry video game nerd. Well, I'm not, I have anger whenever I'm getting my ass kicked in a game, but I'm not an angry person.
See, you know,
so I don't
what
want
I almost,
that as my personality.
See, what I almost think what we should do for fun, and maybe we can do this, is do a gamer talk show. Kind of like the prototype, but host it live. And take calls.
Yeah.
Because this way you get that interaction and just put the episodes up on YouTube for later. And record the in-studio, so to speak, at the same time.
Yeah, we could always make a sub-episode, or sub-thing of Prototype. Just like, Prototype Live.
Like Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. or something like that.
Something.
So, yeah, because this is an idea I've thought about before, because I do have a call-in number. I do record everything that comes into the show, so why the hell not?
Well, you can guarantee that if I do, I'm going to be starting the YouTube channel no matter what. We'll start doing drunken games when I do come down here, and I'll put them on my channel. The drunken prototype or something through my channel, whatever the heck the channel ends up being named. Suggestions at, what was it, feedback at
thisweekingeek.net.
Which, once we finally get my name in there, I might have my own This Week in Geek email.
Yeah, because now that I'm more or less in charge of the whole website now, that's fun.
I'll have to learn a bunch of it and help you.
Mostly for
the prototype stuff.
But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot, I think, that works right for, like, YouTube. Like, my message for you is I want you to be able to go out there and have fun with what you're doing.
Well, yeah.
But also create something that contributes.
Yeah. The main thing I want to do is I want to have fun with it. I don't want to have it forced. Like, I don't want to be, like, trying to be something that I'm not. I just want to have fun with it and, you know, get an audience that enjoys it and maybe even have, like, an infotainment part of my channel that is actually informative or something that helps the gaming community. Heck, I could do something on game collecting and buying games and stuff, since I actually know a lot about that, considering I'm running the store, right?
Yeah.
So that could be my unique thing, because I don't think anyone's really done that yet.
I might say people like Gamester81 and the Game Chasers to a limited extent.
See, the Game Chasers, when they were up here and I was talking with them, the United States and Canada have a drastically different market. Like, a game that's $50 down there could be $100 up here, and that would be, like, the minimum price is $100 up here. They were shocked at some of the prices. I gave them great deals and everything, you know, at their prices, even greater than that, so... You know, I think they left happy, and you know what? I helped out some collectors, so that's all I wanted. And I also showed them some Canadian hospitality, so yay for any of the Canadians listening. But see, that's what I want the YouTube channel to be more about, too, is, you know, helping the community, hanging out, having fun, and, you know, just have fun with it. Which, you can't blame me for that, right? Can't be like, you know, no, you have to try to make money with this.
Yep, it's no, like, die in a fire.
You're not allowed to try to have fun. Fuck you. And now you're looking up Earthbound. What?
Yes. I'm just looking through some of the Club Nintendo things. And the main reason I'm doing this, because I'm thinking, that's something... A YouTube personality that I really enjoy, I haven't followed a lot of his stuff recently, was a guy named CheapyD.
CheapyD?
CheapyD. And he'd kind of keep you informed of what's gaming... deals and shit that's going on.
Oh, that shit changes like every week though.
But that's something people, you could keep people informed upon that. Like that's Club true. Like Club Nintendo stuff updates with a fair degree of regularity and no one really talks about it. I mean, like for example, Club Nintendo, sometimes you get something really awesome, sometimes well you don't. Square Enix has a loyalty program, so does Konami.
A lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know about a lot of loyalty programs. Did you know with Monster, if you take the pop tab off of each monster you get, go to, you'll have to just Google it, but like Monster Rewards or something, you'll find it. But basically, if you trade in your Monster pop tabs with just the shipping fee, you can get some cool fucking swag.
Like what, for example?
Backpacks, t-shirts, sweatshirts, decals, all kinds of crazy shit, man.
That's
kind of
awesome.
And all it is if you're already a fan of Monster, drinking Monsters, just take the tab off your fucking thing. Funny thing is, I found this out after I stopped heavily, heavily drinking energy drinks, so I probably could have got everything on their website for the amount of Monster tabs I would have had.
That just makes you think to the guy who had 14 million Pepsi points to the ride in the fighter jet back in the day.
Oh, fuck.
He did it.
I have too much Pepsi. Just too much.
Well, he went to garbage dumps and like hunted shit down. And he got the 14 million. He's like, all right, where's my fighter jet?
That's fucking awesome.
I'm just... Another thing with like YouTube is you really got to catch people's attention. And now, because of the new YouTube layout... They have this thing called a channel trailer, unsubscribe trailer.
What?
I don't know. I'm just kind of looking at this. Only showing the people who aren't subscribed. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I was about to say, what? Is that like when you unsubscribe, you get like a parting fuck you? Or
you have that would be awesome.
You unsubscribed. I hope you get cancer.
It looks like you can have two different trailers. One for if you're not subscribed and one if you are.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. I know YouTube's getting into a lot of this stuff. And honestly, this episode that we're doing here, it's not saying, you know, hey, you know, you could be a YouTube star too. Like, we're not trying to say that. We're just saying the troubles and tribulations that you could possibly go through if you want to try.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot more work than people realize.
Yeah. And that's another thing too. If you're going to do this, you're going to have to invest in stuff. Now, the camera that I record my vlogs on is my Mac camera. From my
honestly,
like
cameras are getting really good nowadays, and a lot like my
cheaper.
Alienware camera is actually really good.
Yeah,
and yeah, the technology is getting cheaper and better. So, I
mean, ultimately, what it comes down to is your shit has to look good, but you can do that on a budget. I mean, the Game Chasers, for example, they do it on a budget and look great. Now, I have gotten them some equipment.
If you've actually looked at some of the episodes where they actually like show you the area they're recording, they're sitting on like little pink fucking chairs. And their green screen is literally, like, green...
paper.
Yeah, like, the construction paper shit is
now,
hilarious, but it's possible, right?
Now, the cool thing about that is, that looks professional.
Yeah.
Because of one key word, lighting.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't work a lot in video, but my background is in video. And the best piece of advice I can say there is good consistent lighting. 3-point lighting is your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make things look really nice, because one of the, I can't remember what my teacher precisely said, but the gist of it was, if it looks like shit, people will tune out. If it sounds like shit, people will tune out. And more often than not, if it's well lit, people will care.
Yeah.
Like, it just, it has to look good. I mean, for example, when I shoot my vlogs, I am very conscious of the sun, because the sun coming through my window is a different color temperature than what the halogen bulb in my room is.
Yeah.
Because that, the sunlight is actually blue when you look at it. Truly is blue.
What?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
It's a different color temperature. I'll have to show you how the chart works. That is very orange. And you're getting
sun had an orange light.
Yeah, and if, for example, actually you can actually really see this in a lot of early Nostalgia Critic videos. Whenever they shoot out a window, it's colored blue, because that's how the CCD in the camera understands it. That's its true color. Our eyes interpret it differently. But what you can do, if let's say you want to use natural sunlight, because natural sunlight's the best, you can buy something called a gel, a sunlight gel. You put that on your window, and it changes the color temperature, so now it looks natural.
Huh.
So it filters out that specific spectrum of light.
So it's just the actual camera that causes it to look different.
That's why you have to do something called a white balance. White balance tells your camera, this color's true white, I will interpret it as this.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, the best, if you can record, I think it was something like, you want your aperture to be, I'm trying to remember what, I think it was like f-stop 15, aperture 4, I can't remember.
Now we're getting a little complicated.
Technical, yeah, I can't.
Aperture's is something to look up.
Aperture is how much light goes into the camera. F-stop is how fast it's letting it go into the camera. But, yeah, basic photography will really help you, actually, to do this. If you're really serious about it, I mean, if you want to do more stuff in studio, quote-unquote, as opposed to just recording off your HR, PVR, your game capture gear.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. There is some technical stuff you really should be looking into. Microphones, there's a lot of really nice USB stuff. I personally prefer analog audio. I just like the way that it sounds. Like, I'm running a digital board right now that runs into a line in port, because I don't like the way USB audio sounds, because digital audio will cut off when it reaches a certain point, whereas analog audio has something called headroom. It distorts, but it doesn't cut out.
Yeah.
Whereas digital audio will cut out once it reaches a certain threshold.
That's actually why, for some reason, I have this microphone. It cost me $1 at Walmart a long time ago. And the fucked up thing is it sounds amazing, because it's not digital. It doesn't go in through a USB. It just goes straight into my port, right?
Yeah, because it's a straight recording device.
Yeah, so, like, it cost me $1, and it has lasted me years, and I'm probably going to continue to use it. The only thing is because my Alienware laptop has so many fans in it,
it's loud.
It actually has a little bit of a buzz, but I figured out I've been tinkering with this shit a lot lately, and I've managed to make a filter that it actually gets rid of that, so it sounds like true audio. So,
well, I can tell you that solution will not last long, because that hum is electrical interference. There's a short in that cable, and it will go.
I'm fairly sure it's the fans, dude.
If it's a buzz,
it sounds like fans.
Okay, well, yeah. If it sounds like fans, then it's fans. If it's a hum or a buzz, there's a short in that cord.
Yeah.
Because that's how I lose a lot of stuff on Twig Audio, actually, because I push my stuff hard.
Yeah, especially with this mic.
Yeah, or like
maybe it was the other mic.
I don't know. Like, for example, the mic I'm using right now, it's a condenser, and I've had this thing for about 6 years.
We had that one episode where we didn't realize it, but it had
the hum in it. Yeah, because there were shorts in that particular microphone. Now, I still have that microphone. And that's something else, too. You do not need to spend a fortune on a good mic. It depends on what you want for your setup. Lavaliers, wireless lavs, can be great, but they're a lot more set up than you probably want to deal with. A good shotgun mic, if you have it set up properly, can be mounted to your camera via XLR and point it at you, or you can record your video and audio separately and sync them up, which you can use the clap trick.
Yeah.
The clap trick is you clap, you'll see it in video, in audio, you'll see the big, in the waveform, you'll see the big jump. Like, oh, I sync this up here. That basically, when I was in school, we used to do that for ghetto film shoots. If we didn't have the clapperboard or we didn't have the big audio recording.
Oh,
with
is
us.
That what that clapperboard's for?
Yeah, yeah.
For
yeah.
them to sync everything up.
Yep, yep. That makes
so much sense now.
Yeah, that's why you have you. Yeah, that's why you have the guy going sync speed, film speed, set sound. All right, take one. Like that, then everything is up to speed. Your recorder's up to speed. Your camera's up to speed. You're all synced up.
Oh shit!
It's really technical, but it's really cool. And
it's so low tech but technical at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing I love about YouTube and video production. If you really want to do it, you can learn so much. And there's so many talented filmmakers out there, and it's cool. I mean, I went to school for this shit, so I understand it. But you guys don't have to. Do I recommend going to school? Oh, absolutely.
If you want to go in that line of work, yeah, always go to the school for whatever.
And that's another thing too. YouTube, for example, can open up so many doors for you. Like, for example, there's a guy I just talked to. His interview should be out. Should have already been out by now. It's a guy named Sean Ward. The guy's never gone to school before, but he produces YouTube content. He's the guy behind Batman's Night Out, Batman versus Spider-Man, stuff like that. And he produces these little comedy shorts. And he knows what he's doing. It looks good.
Well, YouTube's one of those great things that if you do have a talent in something, you can actually show it off via YouTube, whereas back 10, 20 years ago, no one would ever know about you. Example, Smooth McGroove. His a cappella shit is amazing. Go listen to it if you like video game music. Just go to his channel, listen to it all. He's one of those people that you would probably never knew he existed if YouTube didn't exist. Just because that would never get big enough that it would come out to, say, Shelburne, and we'd find out that he existed. That's just one of the cool things about YouTube, that if you have a talent, you can be recognized for it without, advertising or anything stupid like that. It's all word of mouth. But yeah, why are you looking at weather now? It's not that bad out.
I'm curious. I have a weather... I wouldn't call it a fetish. I have a
fear of weather.
Not a fear. I've got a background in it. I really do. I used to actually, once upon a time, once considered going to school for meteorology. So that's why I watch. Oh, dude, I am every morning. I wake up and do science for 20-30 minutes now. It's ridiculous. But anyway,
No, straight up, anytime there's fucking rain, you think it's going to be a goddamn tornado.
But I haven't been wrong, because the forecast...
But we've never been hit by a tornado like you always say we're going to. You hide in your freaking bathroom.
A month ago it happened.
But it didn't happen here.
Yes, it did, just outside of town.
Yo.
Yeah, it destroyed some guy's fucking farm.
From what I heard, that was just winds that pushed over a car.
Would you like me to pull this data? Because I can, because it was an F-0 tornado.
No, well, F-0?
Yeah, it's
so
on the...
One, two,
no, it's on the Fujita scale. There's F-0 through F-5. The last F-5 tornado that occurred in Canada was in Manitoba, and I think it was last year killed, I think, maybe 2 or 3 people. Now, what you're talking about...
But an F-0, does that even exist? I thought there was only F-1 through 5. No, F-0 mean it was just a little bit of wind?
It's enough to cause damage, which is different from downbursts or microburst winds or straight-line winds, and now I'm getting really fucking technical with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just say there has been weather...
Welcome to the prototype. We are now talking about weather!
Well, Shelburne is the highest... Shelburne and Dundalk are some of the highest points in Ontario geographically, which means we are more subject to severe weather. In fact, we are actually right in the middle of Tornado Alley for Ontario. And this place has been hit more often than you might think.
My brother was born on the day that a tornado went through.
I've been through a couple of them. I've actually driven out of a couple of them, so...
Wait.
I'm a little more leery than most.
Inside a tornado?
North Dakota, 1993. Going down, I think it was Interstate 28, I think, was the highway. Either way, it's the main highway that goes from east to west.
Did your car spin?
No, but we fucking booked it. Something fierce, me and my 8-year-old grandmother.
So you drove past the tornado.
Well, it was coming at us,
tornado. If you were in it, you'd be fucked.
Yeah, we would be dead. That's why there's Reed Timmer and the Dominator, which is a vehicle that can survive a direct hit from a tornado. Very cool shit. Look at
the Dominator.
It's very cool. It's basically a weather tank. Anyway, moving on.
Moving back to YouTube here.
I'm gonna get my wife to talk to you about this actually. Afterwards. So anyway, making it out there totally possible. having an education helps. Being unique helps. I find with a lot of YouTube success, it's right place, right time.
Yeah, well, for sure. Like, you can easily say that, say, I keep using Game Grumps as an example, but they're just one of my favorite shows.
Whereas I can't stand them.
Yeah.
But I like them separately.
Theirs is definitely a right place at the right time, because they both had their own channels doing their own thing. They kind of came together, started doing Game Grumps, just playing games, and it just exploded from the fan base. They start, fans started making remixes, cartoons, all kinds of stuff, and honestly, a lot of that, it's kind of like, how the hell did that happen? And there's definitely some right place at the right time going on in there, just a little bit at least. But and I mean, if you think about it, you look at both of their channels, Eagle Raptor and JonTron, which now it's Eagle Raptor, and I'm not sure what Danny's handle is.
Some other asshole.
and it's one of those things, if their channels are drastically different, but put them together and they just had some sort of weird synergy. Danny's pretty good too. At first, I was probably part of that public eye that was going around saying, what the fuck, why did John leave, yada yada yada, but you know what, Danny's not that bad. He's actually pretty funny in his own way.
Yeah, and that, you know, John wanted to go do his own thing.
Yeah.
Can't fault the guy for that.
Oh, no.
So, I guess ultimately, my advice for getting hooked up on YouTube, know what you're doing, have fun with it, don't try and imitate, just create.
And
see what happens. And don't be an asshole. Yeah, don't steal people's shit.
So yeah, definitely.
Don't expect overnight success.
For the love of God,
don't expect this.
That's probably the biggest mistake most people do, from what I've seen.
Because they dream of 6 million subscribers in the first week.
Yeah, they're like, I can get big, I can get huge right away, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, no, the way YouTube actually works is they advertise the people that are already big. So you're just going to get bigger and bigger. Like, PewDiePie, I swear, other month had like 4 million or something. He's at 6 million this month.
And someone had told me...
It's just because it gets bigger and bigger because you're advertised by YouTube.
And someone had told me that YouTube takes 45% right off the top before you see anything.
I think that's all based on... from what I've been told, there's two ways you can do it if you're actually doing it for money. You can become a YouTube partner where they take money off the top, or there's another way where you can actually get advertising, like marketing and stuff, through separate companies.
Now, someone had told me this.
So,
and
I'm not sure how it works.
Someone had told me this, and she works with one of the shows that we produce. She got signed up for a YouTube contract, and she wants out of it now.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, don't sign anything, digital or otherwise, until you have a lawyer look at it.
Yeah.
Because now she's in this contract, she wants out, they're not letting her out. And although they don't enforce, here, you must produce 2 videos a month, they don't really enforce that, but give it time, you'll piss the right person off.
Yeah.
So, my recommendation is you gotta be goddamn careful. You gotta know what you're doing. And just be smart. I guess if you're doing it as a hobby, and if someone wants you to do this as something more than a hobby, do yourself the smart thing and look into everything. Be smart about it.
Yeah, honestly, for the first little while, I'm probably not even going to bother with becoming a YouTube partner or looking into marketing or anything, because I'm just going to want to have some content out there and build a fan base.
Don't even think about that until minimum 2 years have passed, because then you'll know for sure whether you want to stick with it or not.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to discourage you. Be realistic.
Oh, no. Like, there's tips for other people that are exactly. I might want to do it, too. It's don't even, if you're thinking only about the money,
then don't do it.
Then don't do it. Because you know what? You're not going to get anywhere because you won't have the proper passion about it. And if somehow you do get somewhere, you're going to burn out quick, and nobody in the community is going to like you because all you're in it for is the money, which means you're probably going to backstab them, etc.
Yeah. I mean, for example, I've been doing Twig for over 6 years now, and it's only in the last couple months that things are really starting to happen. Like, I've left Clear Channel.
Yeah.
I'm only doing one radio network right now, but I get asked to do a lot of them. And it's only now that television deals are starting to appear. So it's taken me 6 years to make a dent.
Which, well, I don't know if you want to tell anybody, but you don't really make much.
Yeah, I don't make a lot.
You're doing
of
this
it.
As a passion, not yeah. as a, hey, this is a living. Like, we don't do the prototype.
Yeah,
we don't see any money from prototype.
Yeah, I mean,
we're doing this
because
it's fun.
I mean, I get paid from some of my other professional gigs, which is how I make money being a consultant.
Yeah, but it's not from the podcast.
Yeah, it's not from the podcast. I mean, I get a lot of really cool shit from the podcast. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't pay for games. And last year, I don't pay for systems.
Yeah.
Awesome. Finally, it's taken me this long to get the respect that I deserve. but it may take some people longer. It may take some people shorter. The most important thing is get out there, create content because you want to create it. And the best piece of advice I ever got was from Steve Saylor. If you're interested, you'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And that's the way it go. That's the way you that's the way YouTube and go.
Game chasers right there.
That's right.
I also had somebody tell me that actually I think this might have been on Pro Jared's channel because he did something for Con Bravo and I didn't get to go to Con Bravo and I decided to actually watch his panel or whatever. I think it was him that it was in his panel. They said do something that you yourself would want to watch.
Yeah.
Because if you don't want to watch it, why the fuck would other people? I don't think he said that part, but that's my opinion on it.
It's true.
I mean, if you're not entertaining to yourself, well, then who the hell are you trying to aim for, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you obviously want to aim to entertain the people that are similar to you and have similar interests. Like,
yeah.
People that are like, dude, bro, I love playing football. I'm not trying to entertain them.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off. I don't play football.
I mean,
football's cool and all. Not trying to, you know. Bad
and
method,
if
but.
You guys have any more in-depth questions that I can answer, definitely send me an email, feedback@thisweekingeek.net, or Twitter, @BirdmanDodd. At every convention I go to, at Con Bravo, I must have sat around, I must have talked to 10 or 15 people for at least half an hour apiece. Hey, Mike, I'm on YouTube. What can I do to get bigger? All right, let's sit down.
Let's talk a lot.
And it's not that I don't mind helping people, just I want people to manage expectations. And I want to see them in this for the right reasons.
Well, I mean, since this, you know, this is our podcast.
Yeah.
I may as well say the names that we've kind of started to come up with. We were thinking of calling my channel A Slice of Noob.
Basically, I think it sounds cool.
Yeah, it was actually Blair that came up with that one, right?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a slice. It can mean a lot of different things. A slice of my life, a slice of gaming, whatever. And each different type of episode within it could be a different slice, right? And we also had a possible name because I'm a fucking Square Enix nut job and my favorite job type is the Dragoon. We were thinking of calling me the Noob Dragoon. So let us know your thoughts on that at This Week in Geek, you know, feedback@thisweekingeek.com.
.net.
.net, yeah, sorry. And unfortunately I don't have an email on there yet. So you can send anything to Dodd, he'll let me know. And, yeah, just give us an opinion on names, or even if you have a name that you think would work for me after listening to what I've been doing, and, well, a lot of people probably don't know much about me other than the prototype stuff. give us suggestions, feedback, whatever.
Exactly. So we're done talking in circles for this week. Next week's show topic, who fucking knows?
We'll figure it the fuck
We'll
out.
Figure it out. So anyway, guys, for the prototype, we have been... I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
We've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
We are legion, for we are many.
And I've been Jamie Johnson, and I am Metroplex, because that thing is fucking cool. Boom, 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 boom